ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Krishna. Once again, welcome everyone. Once you start welcoming individual people, you are in trouble because you forget always persons. I forgot the person very, very, very dear to myself, my exalted God brother Vaidyanath Prabhu, who has come with his good wife to bless our festival. Hare Krishna, welcome. And yes, all the Goloka Dhamis who have come, and all of you in the internet down there before the computer, please don't do so many other things as you listen to this katha, but try to concentrate on what is going on here. I would like to start my little Krishna katha this evening by offering from my heart my most humble obeisance to my exalted spiritual master, who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge and who really saved me. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Padane Nivishesha Sunyavari Satyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Khanda Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Sishavanu Sude Devi Pranamami Arimiye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is to help us to absorb our consciousness in Krishna. Once we have mastered this art to think of Krishna always with an affectionate feeling, we have actually, or we are approaching actually the perfection of spiritual life. We learn in spiritual philosophy or spiritual life a very important sentence. I will express it in the most simple terms I can. You are what you think about. In material life, I think we often say you are what you have, or you are what you possess, and so on. But in spiritual life, it's really you are what you think about. In the Padma Purana, an often quoted verse appears, which tells us the purpose of our Krishna conscious practice. The verse is Smartavya satatam Vishnur Vismartavyo najatushit Sarve viti nishedasyo etayor evakinkaya. In English, Krishna should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras are servants of these two principles. Whatever you hear in Krishna consciousness, do this, do that, do the other thing, as a suggestion, whatever you hear as a prohibition, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, really all aims at this one essential point: to always remember Krishna and never forget him. If you can do that, you have made it. You have grasped the essence. You are a saragrahi Vaishnava, an essence-loving Vaishnava. But if you do all the other things and never remember Krishna and always forget him, then you have just not really understood the essence. At the time of death, my dear devotees, it is totally irrelevant what you have, the material, and what you have gotten. The only important thing is what you think about. And to train this, you are invited to enter the school of absorption, the school of Krishna consciousness. When you remember Krishna, sometimes someone has asked me, when do you feel good, Sachinanda Swami? And I'm a very simple man. I always say, when I remember Krishna, I feel good. When I forget him, I feel bad. There is a verse in the prelude, Vorspiel of the Venu Gita, where this principle of remembering Krishna and then feeling free from misery is explained. Girayo vashadharabhir hanyamana naviyatu abibhu yamana vyasane yathadokshaja chetasa. The mountains in the rainy seasons were not at all disturbed by the repeated striking of the rain-bearing clouds. In the same way, devotees whose minds are absorbed in the personality of Godhead remain peaceful even when attacked by all sorts of dangers. A mountain doesn't shake even when it's attacked by torrents of water, but it becomes more beautiful because it's washed off its dirt. In the same way, a devotee who's absorbed in Krishna, who's concentrated in Krishna, does not at all become disturbed when material miseries attack him. In fact, material miseries, for a devotee who is in Krishna consciousness, wash him of the greatest of all dirts, that is pride and enviousness. If you are in Krishna conscious, not only will material misery not disturb you. No, material misery will become your servant by taking off these very difficult contaminations which cling to you for a long, long time, even in spiritual practice, that the pride and that enviousness on Krishna. The reason why the devotee is so undisturbed as the mountain is because he is deeply absorbed in Krishna by chanting and hearing about him. And this is discussed in Canto 3 of the Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami explains to us, engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Just see how powerful Krishna Katha is, where you hear about Krishna. You will not become disturbed even if there is outwardly cause for disturbance. But the disturbance will firm, make you more firm in your spiritual life. Now the best teachers for us to learn to think about Krishna, those who are most absorbed in Krishna, are Prema Mayirad, who?
Sadhus,
yes. And I want to say they are sadvis, the gopis, very good, the gopis are always absorbed in meditation of Krishna, and we will become absorbed in their absorption when we listen to what they perceive and what they see and what engages them. Prabhupada writes about this in Krishna book chapter 21, and I want to read this to you with my little orchestra. While Krishna was engaged in tending the cows in Vrindavan or on Govardhan Hill, the gopis in the village were always absorbed in thinking of him and discussing his pastimes. This is the perfect example of Krishna consciousness. To somehow or other remain always engrossed in thoughts of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behavior of the gopis. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that no one can worship the Supreme Lord by any method which is better than the method of the gopis. The gopis' only purpose was to remain always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So, after the rainy season, when the forest of Vrindavan showed its most exquisite beauty, a very interesting scene happened. The rain had cleared all the ponds and lakes so that it was crystal clear, like the mind of a devotee. Fresh breezes were going through the forest and picked up the freshness from the lakes and the fragrance of the lotus flowers. This fresh breeze made everything extremely fresh. Krishna entered into this forest of Vrindavan together with his cowherd boyfriends. And the way Krishna entered this forest, what he experienced was the subject matter of meditation for the gopis. The gopis, like the elders in Vrindavan, had remained in the village when Krishna passed by their houses. They had looked with their lotus eyes at Krishna's beautiful form as he walked past them. They had become so absorbed that they had opened the doors and run on the roofs of their houses to have a good view, to see how Krishna arrived at the gate of Vrindavan and then went with 900,000 cows out into the forest. They were heartbroken. Each morning this happened. The same scene, Krishna with the Sakas, his cowherd boyfriends, and the cows leaving for the forest of Vrindavan. But there was a messenger between Krishna and the gopis who brought news of what Krishna experienced in the forest of Vrindavan. This messenger is the best of messengers of Krishna. Can you imagine who this is? Sadhya knows everything. Krishna's flute, yes. And when Krishna blew in his flute, or Prabhupada sometimes said, when Krishna whistled in his flute, then the flute song brought a picture of Krishna which arose in the hearts of the gopis, and they could see everything what Krishna experienced in the forest by this connection which was established through the flute. It's almost like when we hear in this world a radio vibration, and the radio comes, the vibration comes from a far distant place, and it gives us a certain understanding of what is happening. But with Krishna's flute play, not only the information was given, a full picture came, almost like television, from a far distant place, and the gopis would see what Krishna experienced, and would see Krishna. And my dear devotees, what they saw made them so absolutely enchanted. It grabbed their heart in such a way that they were not able to speak. The first scene which appears in the Venu Gita is something which not the gopis speak, but which Shukadev Goswami speaks. The gopis are in the village and they want to talk about Krishna, but they are so much overwhelmed and fascinated by this picture which comes into their mind that they can't speak. This verse, which I will introduce my seminar with, is so wonderful that great acharyas since time immemorial have explained this verse. This verse has brought even the speaker of Bhagavatam to life. This verse which you will hear was recited to Shukadev Goswami, who is the speaker of the Bhagavatam, when he was in the forest hiding. You remember, after his birth, he didn't want to be entangled in an ordinary family life. So since he was for 16 years in the womb of his mother, when he came out, he was a 16-year-old teenager, we would say. And he immediately left family life and went into the forest to stay there as a self-satisfied Atmarama. But the disciples of his father, Vyasadeva, went into the forest to look for him, and in order to look for him, they wanted to throw a bait. Sie wollten ihn anlocken mit einem, wie sagt man das, einem Köder, genau, danke. And this bait, or Köder in Deutsch, was this verse. When Shukadeva Goswami heard this voice, he came out of the forest. He just perked up behind the bushes. And he said to the disciples of Vyasadeva, I'm here, you're looking for me. I only have a question. Do you know more of such verses? And he said, yes, yes, yes. For that you have to come back to your father Vyasadeva. He's the expert. We are only his students. This verse is one of three verses which is described to be the best of all verses about Krishna. Would you like to hear it? If you would say no, I would read it to you most probably. And you would have become enchanted. My dear devotees, this verse changed my life. I personally was... but I tell you later what happened. It really was, I had almost died, and then I heard this verse, and I will tell you a little later what it is. Barha pitam natavara vapu kanayo kanikaram bibradvasha kanaka kapisham Veja Jantim Chamalam Rantran Vino Adara Sudaya Purayando Pabrinde Brindaranyam Swapararamanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Krishna wears a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue kanikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijajanti garland. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. What did the gopis see? What made them so speechless? It is a beautiful meditation. The form of Krishna as he enters Vrindavan's forest on a very special day. This is from a particular day, this meditation. What does Krishna look like? But Krishna is bedecked with a peacock feather ornament, it's like on his crown, and there is a kanikara flower on his ear. Usually it's a blue kanikara flower, but Krishna sometimes chooses a yellow kanikara flower because the yellow color of that flower reminds him of the effulgence of whom? Radharani. Yes, yes, yes. He wears a Vaijajanti garland made from flowers of five different colors. And he has lotus flowers. In one hand he whirls with a lotus flower. When he does this, you know, this is a special language which Krishna has, non-verbal communication. It means just like I'm twirling now this lotus flower, I'm turning your mind. Manorama, I'm attracting your mind. He has mango sprouts, you know, that means leaves all over, clusters of flowers. And on this day, Shukadev Goswami says, he's dressed like a dancer. That means he has a multicolored dress. Dhoti, yes, yellow, flesh, that's the standard dress of Lord Krishna. But then he has different shirts, different glittering materials, a turban made from different colors, a shawl. Although when he starts dancing, Krishna thinks, this shawl is in my way, I need to dance now. And he uses it, he ties it around his belly so that he can dance more freely. And he thinks on that day, today I will exhibit my form as the best of dancers. There are two dancers, Shiva and Krishna. Shiva is called Nataraj, the king of dancers. But you know, his dance, when he really gets into it, that destroys the whole universe. But Krishna's dance, Krishna is called Natavara. Even better than the king of dancers, is the best of dancers. He's better than the king. When he dances, the whole creation comes alive. In other avatars, the Lord is not fond of so much dancing. But when he comes as Krishna, he always dances and he makes everyone dance. The peacocks dance, the swan dance, the gopas dance with their sticks, and the gopis dance. Anywhere, anytime, Krishna dances. Even when he fights with a demon, like with Kaliya, our Krishna is Natavara. He jumps on the hooves of the Kaliya, and he starts to dance. And while dancing and stomping with his feet, he just, by the way, defeats Kaliya. He likes dancing. Our Lord is very joyful. Even when Krishna did something very serious, that is to hold the Govardhan hill, to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the monsoon, like rain, Krishna couldn't refrain himself from dancing. He would step his foot to left and right, and he would move. He would play on his flute. And everyone said, no, Krishna, no, 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 not now. Krishna just looked with his eyes back and forth and kept on dancing. Now, everyone cried out thinking that the hill will fall at any moment, but Krishna was not at all afraid. So on this day Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, but he dances while he does it, and his gopas are there with his sticks, and they just all dance so nicely. So much so that the goddess of dance became ashamed, because Krishna dances so nice. And just imagine our Lord. He has he has put his shawl on his waist for better dancing. Then on his lotus feet there are these anchor bells, which makes a runu runu shing shing sound as he dances. And then Krishna Garland starts to dance up and down as he dances on his beautiful chest, and Krishna's eyes start to dance, you know, with his eyebrows. He attracts the attention of his friends by, you know, when we do this also as human beings, when we do something very good, we go like so Krishna dances with his eyebrows, and his fingers dance on his flute, and Krishna's two eyes, which are as beautiful as small, the eyes of small baby deers, become restless like the wagtail bird. You know, the wagtail bird is always, have you seen these little, wie sagt man das, Bachstelzen in Deutsch, wagtail birds, they are never peaceful. they stay here, and next moment they are here, and you don't know how did they come from here to here. They are so fast. Bachstelzen, I think some of you who like nature know what is Bachstelzen. You can see these wagtail birds when you spend a day at the bank of the Yamuna, and you see these little birds, they have a tail like this, and they always jump and droop, droop, droop. They are so sensitive. So Krishna's eyes move like this. Everything dances, his whole body dances. And there is a verse about our Krishna who is entering. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vritya Yare Jaiche Nachai Setaiche Karanitra. Lord Krishna alone, this verse says, is the supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. My dear devotees, you also dance after Krishna's flute. Or you dance after Krishna's command. Your life which you lead, with all the unexpected turns which the life does, is a life which is fully under the control of the Lord. You have not really chosen that life in which you lead. You have not so much a say in it. It is the Lord's arrangement in the form of his karma which moves you. Krishna consciousness means to break the control of the material energy by starting to become absorbed in Krishna and his flute play, and learning to dance or act according to the orders of Krishna. The way a devotee dances in this world to Krishna's flute music is by following the plan and the orders of Krishna, and not following his own plan. See, most of us, even in Krishna consciousness, follow our own plan, our own desires, our own designs. But that is not dancing to the flute of Krishna. That's dancing to your own karma and dedicating something of that in Krishna. If you want to really learn to dance freely to the flute play of Krishna, you must learn the simple art, which is to listen to the flute of Krishna by following the orders, the sacred orders of Krishna as they come down to you through the line of Krishna's dear devotees, the parampara. Learn to dance to Krishna's flute. Don't dance to the karma, to the karma flute. So I want to finish this verse. I want to say Krishna, all this wears a Vaijajanti garland. This Vaijajanti garland is made of five colors: white, yellow, red, blue, and green. And these respond to the tulasi flowers, the kunda flowers, the mandara flowers, the parijata, and the kamal. Kamal means lotus flower, and parijata is that flower. When you just smell a little bit of that flower, you faint. It's so good. So Krishna has this garland with him, and it is said that anyone who wears a Vaijajanti garland will never have any disease and is always victorious. It's a special garland with these special flowers which make you free from all disease, and when you have it, everyone pays an obeisances to you. You always are victorious. That is Krishna's decoration. Now, as Krishna dances, he looks like a storm cloud with two rainbows. One is this Vaijajanta garland which dances on his chest, and the other are the peacock feathers on his head which dance. Now can you just imagine looking into a storm cloud and seeing two rainbows, one going this way and the other going this way? It's like a circle of rainbows. It's just so beautiful and so breathtaking. And therefore, as the gopis see in their mind's eye Krishna entering the forest, their breath is taken. They can't talk. It's just so absolutely beautiful. To become absorbed in meditation into this picture of Krishna dancing joyfully into the forest of Vrindavan means you will lose all other thoughts and all other talks. You may ask, why did Shukadev Goswami not speak about the jewel garland which Krishna gets, the garland of jewels, or other precious gems, the rings, for instance? Why didn't he mention anything about Krishna's royal ornaments made from gold, made from by Tangana and Rangana, his two goldsmiths? My dear devotees, there is a reason for this. When Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, he puts all the jewels and the jewel garlands which Yashoda has put around his neck down on the floor. He doesn't like this so much. Krishna loves Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan, and the way he shows his love is he puts down the jewels which come from the far away ocean, and he just dresses in forest decorations, forest flowers, mango sprouts, lotus flowers. He really looks like a forest boy dancing there. Now, as Krishna dances through the dust of Vrindavan, something very significant happens. His lotus feet, which dance, leave certain impressions in the dust of Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami says, when the dust of Vrindavan gets touched by Krishna's lotus feet, it turns golden. And a special substance from Krishna's heart flows into each single one of these soft dust particles. When the Renu means dust, of Vrindavan gets touched by Krishna's lotus feet, some of Krishna's love which he has for his devotees becomes transported into the dust of Braj. Anyone, even today, who enters the mystical forest of Vrindavan and who contacts the dust which has been touched by Krishna's dancing lotus feet, also becomes influenced by that joyous, loving dance. My dear devotees, a wonderful sadhana or spiritual practice which I want to recommend to you today is to walk through the forest of Vrindavan and sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra while you walk, and then feel how the dust of Vrindavan will touch you, your whole body and your heart, and you will see how you will become transformed in your Krishna consciousness. Everything in Vrindavan is touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. There's a song by Surya. It says in the Surdas, in the whole of Braj, there is not one portion where Krishna did not put his lotus feet. There is not one fruit which Krishna has not eaten. In Vrindavan, there are no vines from which Krishna has not plucked his flowers. There is no kunja where Krishna has not sported. And in the whole of Vrindavan, there is no tree where Krishna has not tied a swing and swung back and forth. This is the forest of Vrindavan which Krishna entered that morning. And Krishna would look in the forest of Vrindavan and he would think, oh, the trees are my dear devotees. They bow down and they offer their fruits. Krishna would later express his thoughts to Balaram and said, Balaram, my brother, do you see how this forest of Vrindavan is full of the seva mentality? And because Krishna was feeling shy, he didn't want to say to Balaram, look how the trees are bowing down to me. He said, I think the trees are bowing down to you, Balaram. This is how they walked through the forest of Vrindavan. Great devotees have prayed to enter this forest of Vrindavan. Srila Bhishmanath Chakravarti Thakur has said, Mamastu Vrindavan eva vasa. May Vrindavan always be my place of residence. I implore you, my dear devotees, you are living in a very good time. It's Kali Yuga. There are airplanes to take you to Vrindavan. This is the benefit of Kali Yuga. You can go there. You can just work a little bit, earn a little Lakshmi, spend it for an airline ticket, and fly to Delhi and take a taxi. But you will never enter the transcendental forest of Vrindavan by your airplane ticket and by your taxi. The moment you arrive in Vrindavan, you have to throw yourself in a dandava into the dust of Vrindavan and roll in the dust of Vrindavan, forgetting that you come from Germany. That's always good to forget. And understand that now I'm touching the same dust which has been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. And as you roll in the dust of Vrindavan, you should know why Vrindavan is sought after by the great souls, why they want that Vrindavan is their place of residence. It's like this. Vrindavan is filled with the loving attachment of the gopis, and every devotee who comes there to the forest of Vrindavan will feel that some of this Bhagavat prema, this love for Krishna, begins to manifest in his heart. It's magical. You go in one state of consciousness to Vrindavan, you sleep, and in the night you wake up and you feel, O Krishna, O Krishna, O Krishna. Some of the love has entered your heart just by being in contact with that dust which was touched by the dancing lotus feet of our Lord. Just by that touch. Another reason why Vrindavan is there is in Vrindavan our queen lives. And some call her the mother of bhakti, the mother of devotion, Srimati Radhika. And in her mercy, all our hopes lie. Our hope for Krishna consciousness, to become Krishna consciousness, is the mercy of Radha. Another reason why Vrindavan is so special, I was thinking about this, is because it is here where the Rasa dance of dancing Krishna took place. And the lotus feet of the Lord are always barefoot in this forest of Vrindavan. He's never dressed in shoes. Krishna. Therefore, my dear devotees, every good devotee wants to at least visit Vrindavan and stay there. So, I want to now do a special exercise with you. I want you to meditate about the vision which the gopis had. Are you ready? Try to sit tall, not as if a person has just shot you into your lungs. What we do now is we will try to see through the eyes of the Shastras. We are blind, so blind. We can't see Krishna very nicely because we are what we are. But when you see through the eyes of the scriptures, then you can see a little bit more clearer, like glasses come on you. But especially you can understand Krishna if another special glasses come on this. This is the experience of the devotees which are recounted in the Shastra. I remember I was in Italy a few weeks ago and I had to go to the dentist. And I said, I have something here. And the dentist said, let me look. And then I opened my mouth and he looked with his glasses and he said, "Acha, very interesting." And then he put another glasses on his glasses and he saw all my secret caries. the way of the great departure. And I learned about this verse which we have heard after I almost departed from this world. I had gone down in Rudra Prayag to take my bath in the Ganga, and there was an iron fence and a warning, don't go outside this fence, the Ganga is very strong here. And I thought, I'm from Germany, I'm also very strong. So I jumped into the area where all the people are, and the Indians were bathing. You know, it was an evening, there was only one or two Indians, and I thought, oh no, this is too limited for me. And I then jumped over the fence into the Ganga. Oh my God, this was the first mistake. one of the worst mistakes I ever made. Ganga Maa took me and just whirled me around and clashed me against one rock, and my foot started to bleed. And somehow or other, I don't know why, Krishna gave me the intelligence to just try to grab something as I was carried down. And I got I got hold of the end of the fence and just captured it on one finger, you know. And then I pulled myself to the fence, bent over the fence, and saw a Brahmin. And this Brahmin started to chant when he saw me. Bahapitam natavada vapu kanayo kanikaram vibradvasha kanaka kapisham vejajanti chamaram. Then he went, this part, randran venu, he went, venu, like this, and he looked in my eyes. Venu, adara sudaya purayango pavrinda. And he chanted the whole verse, which I had heard before, and waved me. He had seen that I almost was killed. I was going like, and he said, come, foolish Western boy. And I sat next to him, and he said, Do you understand? And I understood. My mind had been so much absorbed in a foolish material consciousness, thereby which I ignored all the warnings, thinking I'm from Germany, I can do everything. You know, that's what the Germans still think. And I was almost killed. I had not thought of Krishna. I had just been an adventurer, an ordinary, un-Krishna conscious adventurer. Do you understand? Yes. And then we went through the lines of this verse. And he told me this vision, which I want to tell you now, about Krishna, in whom our minds should be absorbed. Sit, please. Now it's serious.
Getting serious.
Look around in the room. Most probably you have not yet seen the beautiful decorations. It's the forest of Vrindavan. Then stop looking around and fix your eyes on something, or close your eyes as you wish. Become peaceful. Take a few deep breaths, please. The day has come to an end. Soon you will take your last darshan for the day from Radha Madan Mohan. But before, please think about this best of the verses. Think about the verse where Krishna is described, how he enters the forest of Vrindavan. Remember, he wears a peacock feather crown. He's dressed in forest ornaments. He has a Kanikara flower over his ear. A wonderful five-colored Vaijajanti garland. He's dressed in a very special dancer's dress. And as he walks, his foot or his feet leave distant distinct marks in the dust of Braj. Krishna is very joyful. The joy of his heart is put into his flute and he dances, his eyes dance, and he makes all the gopas, his friends, and the gopis mad with the tunes from his flute. This is how the Lord entered the forest of Vrindavan. The flute of Krishna puts a question to us here in this material world. We hear that Lord Krishna alone is the supreme controller and all others are his servants, also us. They dance as he makes them do so. Are you prepared to dance as Krishna wants you to dance? Yataksham Barhavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarpa Kotikamaniya Vishesha Chopam Govindamari Purusham Tamam Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who's expert in playing on his flute. With blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with a peacock feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness which charms millions of cupids. When the gopis meditated about Krishna, they embraced each other, keeping Krishna within their minds, and thus they found Krishna in each other. And while embracing, they thought they would embrace Krishna. So tomorrow, the gopis will start to speak about what they saw, and they will talk very gopi-like, very special. You are invited to come back. Thank you very much. This ends our first day of our Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions, my dear devotees? Keshava, oh Keshava.
Can you just please repeat the two second and two first verses exactly the sources?
That's Matavyang Satatam Vishnu, that ought to remember Krishna always and never forget him. I know that it is quoted in the Nectar Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita as well, and they come from the Padma Purana. Is that true or properly? Yeah. So you can find it under Smatavya Satatam Vishnu. There it is. Maybe Madhavananda has the exact reference. Let us see. This about absorption in Krishna. Yeah, yeah. I find this absorbing in Krishna, absorbing the mind in Krishna, is not something which happens very suddenly. You have to practice this. Most probably, you have to practice it for a lifetime. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asks a question: who will feel attracted to Krishna, to think of Krishna? And he says, actually, Krishna is all attractive. He's just like a magnet which naturally pulls the iron filings, also iron Eisenspäne in Deutsch, to it, but not if it is covered with rust. So when our minds are still covered by material contaminations, then it is not so easy for us to be attracted to Krishna. We are attracted to that for which we have sanskaras. For instance, a lusty man is attracted to women, women is attracted to nice clothes, maybe, because she becomes more attracted by nice clothing. A scholar is attracted to many books. When you put him in a room with books, he is busy with the books. We are attracted for that which lives in our heart. We call this in Vedic psychology sanskaras. Now when we have no Krishna sanskaras, but so much Maya sanskaras, we are attracted always to Maya, but not to Krishna. And we are always absorbed in Maya and never in Krishna. So therefore, if you wish to learn the art of, this Krishna yoga, this bhakti yoga, you have to put Krishna conscious sanskaras or Krishna conscious impressions into your mind. And then, when you have these Krishna conscious impressions, you will start to see Krishna everywhere. There is this one devotee who sees vultures circling in the sky. And he starts to dance in ecstasy. So one man comes by and says, "Why do you dance in ecstasy? The vultures are circling." Now, when you have walked in India, you know what that means. Someone or something has died. Then the vultures go. You can see them near Vashana. And the materialistic man asked the devotee, "Is there a reason to dance?" "Yes," says the devotee, "I can see by the way the vultures circle, a cow has died." "Now this is very inauspicious," says the materialist. "No, you don't understand," says the devotees. "A cow has died, it's natural death. Now we will take the hide, I will just fell, and make a mridanga and play kirtan for Krishna." materialist sees one thing, a devotee sees another thing. Why? Because a materialist has one type of sanskaras, a devotee has other sanskaras, other impressions. So if you want to come to the state where you can actually remember Krishna, even by the ordinary things which happen in your life, you need to put new sanskaras, not so much karmi books, not so much karmi films, not so much karmi food. You need to put Krishna conscious books, Krishna conscious films, and Krishna conscious food in your body. Only then will you be able to relate to Krishna. That's very, very important. Otherwise, when we think the word Krishna, we don't see anything. When a devotee chants Hare Krishna, do you know what happens? He sees the form of Krishna. He thinks of the qualities of Krishna. He sees the pastimes of Krishna. Why? Because there are so many Krishna conscious sanskaras in him. And all this becomes awakened by one holy name, Hare Krishna. But when a materialist chants, he thinks, when is food coming? So this Krishna consciousness, I want to say, is a mental culture. You have, or it's a culture of life. You have to culture it properly, and that's why we hear about Krishna. I know in the pure Krishna katha like this is something which in Germany we are not hearing this often, and therefore we are just. But it's the only medicine for us, so that we can remember Krishna and think of him all this. Krishna. All right, so we will end here.